Take your Bible one more time to the book of Ruth. The little book of Ruth in the Old Testament. We're just going to open it up. I've enjoyed preaching through the book of Ruth. I hope it's been a blessing and a help to you. We're going to wind it up this morning. And I want you to do me a favor. There's going to be a little resemblance this morning to what was preached last Sunday, just a little. But I don't want you to get lost in that and say, we've heard all that before. But also, there's going to be a temptation maybe on the part of some of you to say, preacher, that won't do me any good. But would you listen all the way to the end this morning? And I believe it'll be a help to you. I believe it can encourage you today. And so I hope you will just listen on purpose this morning. We're going to begin reading in chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. We like stories like what's found in the book of Ruth. You see what do you mean? I mean, we like stories with a happy ending. I like stories with a happy ending. If I'm going to watch the movie, if I were going to watch the movie The Alamo, I know how it ends before it begins, all right? I know how that's going to wind up. If you're going to watch a movie about the Titanic, you know how it ends, all right? You know how it ends. Not necessarily a happy ending on either one of them, all right? Well, the book of Ruth is a love story with a happy ending. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of they lived happily ever after. They lived happily ever after. Now, I want to say this right now. I believe you can, too. I believe you can, too. I believe you can live happily ever after. I want to point out, the book doesn't start happy. Man, it began with death, but it ends with life. It begins with regret and remorse, but it ends with rejoicing. It begins as a stormy, cloudy day and ends up with the sun shining bright, you know, just like that. I like those kind of stories. I like it like that. I know what is the fairy tales always ended and they lived happily ever after. And somebody come along and say, well, that's not real life. Well, I want to tell you, I do believe you can live happily ever after. But I'm going to say this to you. It doesn't happen accidentally. Doesn't happen accidentally. There's reasons for rejoicing just as there are causes for calamity. Amen. All right? If your life ends up in calamity, there's a cause. There's a cause. But if it ends and it is rejoicing, there's reason. So I want to preach to you about that, all right? If you want to live happily ever after, there's instruction for us in the book of Ruth. And what worked for them will work for me and you, all right? We always get the idea, well, that worked for them, but it won't work for me. Well, yeah, it will. Yes, it will. It will. I've told you before, I've tried to get people to witness to people, and you say, man, I don't know how to tell anybody how to get saved. Well, tell them what you did. If it worked for you, it'll work for somebody else. God doesn't have a plan for Vincent Marshall and a different plan for Jerry Smart. Same plan for all of us, okay? So what works for one work for another? If it worked for Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, it'll work for us. But could I say this? Watch out. Watch out. I don't want you to set out to emulate everything they did because a lot of his mistakes were made. They made some mistakes. There was some sin. But instead, could you just focus with me this morning on what brought about the rejoicing and helped them to overcome the calamity that fell upon them, all right? Now, there's basically just two elements, so there's only 2 points to the sermon, all right? And normally, I'm a three-pointer, all right? Sometimes it goes to 4 or 5, but normally it's 3 points, all right? That's not 3 points in a poem. I usually don't have the poem, all right? But this morning's only 2. So don't get excited. Doesn't mean the sermon will only be 2/3 as long as it normally is. Maybe the same length, all right? And the first thing I want you to see is the will of God. The will of God. Hey, that's where the problem starts for most of us when it comes to living happily ever after. It's the will of God. People are more concerned with everything else. They're not concerned with the will of God. So many people, even Christians, live their lives as if His will doesn't matter, or if it does, they don't care. Now, you can't live your life that way and live happily ever after, okay? It's not going to work. You see, God has a plan for people. I believe it with all my heart. I believe He's got a plan for you. I believe He has a plan for me. And if I can get in on that plan is the will of God for my life. If I can get in on that plan, I can live happily ever after. And He has procedures for us to follow, all right? And then He comes back and He said, hey, if you'll follow these procedures, I got some wonderful promises that I'll make to those and give to those who will do it God's way. Do it God's way. That is following the will of God. Now, I want to say this to you. Rejoicing begins, number one, with redemption. Redemption. That's what makes the difference to begin with. God had given the nation of Israel the plan and the procedures necessary for one to be redeemed. And we've talked about this several times in preaching through the book of Ruth. It was His way of maintaining the heritage and the legacy of each one in the nation, all right? They were given an allotment. They were given something that belonged to their family, and there was a way to keep it in the family, and that part of that was the plan of redemption, okay? Now, Boaz knew that procedure. He knew it thoroughly, and Ruth benefited from that procedure. Now, in that day, and in chapter 4, you read it, it involved taking off a shoe. I want to tell you something. You don't have to take a shoe off today, all right? No shoe removal on the process today. Redemption, all right? Redemption involved a payment then and still involves a payment now, all right? Still involves a payment. In order for Boaz to redeem Ruth, he had to shell out some money. All right? He had to open his wallet and he had to spend some money. He said, I'm going to redeem everything, the land that belongs to Naomi and her husband Elimelech. He said, I'm going to redeem that from Naomi. But it also involved the process of redeeming Ruth and buying her for his bride. Now, we normally rebel against that idea of buying. We say, I never do that. I bought one years ago, been paying for it ever since, all right? And that's all right. I don't mind, okay? Don't mind at all, okay? Very happy in that process. Well, that was the redemption process. It took a payment. Now, Lord, I'm so glad when we talk about redemption today. Hey, I'm not talking about your land. All right? Not talking about your possessions. We're talking about your soul. Talking about your soul. If you're going to live happily ever after, it has to start with redemption. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, you have to be born again. You just have to be born again. How in the world? I can't afford it. Me either. Couldn't pay for it. But that's the good news. God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, He paid the price of redemption. He paid the price of redemption. You know what? Be all right if we stopped right here and shouted for about 5 minutes, all right? Good thing He paid our redemption because you couldn't do it. Nobody else could do it for you, but He paid it. He paid it. So, well, how do I get in on it? Same way Ruth got in on it. same way Ruth got in on it. I want you to go back, would you, and look with me in chapter 3, okay? Chapter 3. Verse 9. What's going on here? I'm not going to read the whole story, but if you're not familiar with it by some chance, Ruth had gone to the threshing floor that night. The grain had been threshed out, and they were sleeping to guard it. And Naomi had told Ruth, "Will you go and you lay down at the feet of Boaz?" So she had done that, as she had been told. Verse 8 says, "It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid," and that's Boaz, "and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, 'Who art thou?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.'" Now, in our vernacular, basically what she was saying was, "Marry me. I want you." She's saying, "I want you to redeem me. I want you to redeem me." And I want you to notice, if you go down through the rest of the book of Ruth, we don't have to take time to do it right now, but that's all Ruth did. That was her part. She asked him to redeem her. I'm drawing that out this morning because that's your part in redemption. That's your part in redemption. Your part is to come to the one that can redeem you and by faith call upon him and ask him to save your soul. That's your part. And he takes it from there, all right? He takes it from there. That is how you, when we talk about being born again, you come by faith, you trust the Lord and call upon him, ask him to forgive you for being a sinner and ask him to save your soul. Bam, it's done just that quick. You're born into the family of God. The Lord takes care of it, all right? Now, when that happens, that's redemption. That redemption gets you in the will of God. Gets you in the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says, "He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You just think about that. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That means he wants to save every person. I believe that with all this within me. The Bible said he tasted death for every man. If you'll come, he'll save you. The only thing keep you out of heaven is you. You, because the Lord paid your sin debt. You have to be born again. Hey, listen, God made a way for that old Moabite woman, Ruth. A stranger. An alien, if you will. But he made a way for her to be redeemed. And he's made a way for you to be redeemed also. The Bible says it, you just must be born again. Have to experience that new birth. Hey, you want to live happily ever after? Starts right there. Starts right there. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You call upon him and he'll save your soul. And now you got things headed in the right direction. All right? But with that, not only we have the will of God, but we have the work of the person, okay? The work of the person. Now, you want to live happily ever after, and God's not going to do it all for you. God's not going to do it all for you. My wife cooks, she puts it on the table, but she doesn't come and drag me to the table. And after I get there, she doesn't say, "Open up. It's coming in. Now open your mouth." We quit doing that a long time ago. When you had your kids, that's what you had to do. You get it on the spoon, you know, and you take it to their mouth, and hopefully they'd open up. And if it didn't, you tried to invent some stupid game. And here's the airplane flying around. And I open the cave. Here it comes. You know, and you stick it in, then you wipe it off, stick it back in, wipe it off, stick it back in. All right? About 3 or 4 swipes, you get that one spoonful down. All right? Now, God's not going to do that for you. He'll save your soul, all right? But he's not going to do everything after that. There comes a time when you've got to get involved. You have to step up, all right? Now, I'm not talking about being saved because you can't do anything. Hey, I'm not talking about staying saved because God handles that. The Bible plainly says we're kept by the power of God, not our own power. Always tell people when God built the ark, had Noah build the ark, he said, he didn't say drive 8 pegs in the side of the ark on the outside. He said, when the water rises, grab on and hold on. He didn't say that. He opened the door and he said, come in. Then he shut the door. They were secure in him. I am secure in him. If you're saved, your eternal security lies with the power of God, not with your ability, all right? We're kept by his power. So what I'm talking about is not you staying saved or being saved. I'm talking about you getting involved. You see, God provided a way for Ruth to get in. He provided a way for Ruth to get in. I believe he brought them together. You remember way back there in chapter 1 where the Bible says it was her hap to wind up in the field of Boaz. Now, I believe it was her hap, and her hap was God's map. God put her there. God put her there. He knew what he was doing. She didn't know what all was involved. But, hey, after they got together and they met, all right, he brought Boaz and Ruth together. He saw her out in the field. He said, who is that woman? And it went from there. But after it got started there, so much of it depended upon how they conducted themselves. And can I say this to you? Happiness ever after for you depends on how you conduct yourself. It falls in our lap, all right? And over in that book of Ruth, we've seen Ruth being willing to follow the instructions of others. Now, we are stubborn, hard-headed people. And the bad thing is, some of us are proud of it. Amen. We act like that's a banner of, you know, honor. Well, it's not, okay? And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. And but people give instructions for us to follow. They did that with Ruth. And you read through the book of Ruth, it was always seemed like, okay, whatever you say, I did. I mean, she was sent out, told what to do, said, okay. She got in the field of Boaz, she's reaping. Boaz talked to her and said, listen, I want you to stay in my field. I want you to stay in my field. Now, Ruth could have done like many people do. Who do you think you are trying to tell me what to do? I'm a free, independent spirit. I can do whatever I jolly well please. She had the good sense to listen to him. And he said, you stay right here in my field. You do that. And my helpers, my workers, they'll protect you. They'll keep an eye on you. They'll see to it. You'll be safe. You stay here. Naomi encouraged her. When she came home that first day with everything she'd gleaned, it was an amazing amount. And Naomi said, hey, you're in the right place. You stay there. I want you to see, Ruth had the good sense to be obedient. All right? Man, she just did it. She said, I'll do what you want me to. All right? She followed the instructions of Boaz in gleaning. She was careful to go exactly where Boaz said to do it. And when Naomi told her to go to the threshing floor and do it, like I said. Now, you got to remember this, okay? Ruth, this was all strange to Ruth. These weren't her people. This was not something she had been brought up all her life hearing. No, it was completely different for her. It was a challenge for her. She didn't understand it, but you never find her saying, do what? You don't find her asking when Naomi said, you go lay down at his feet and then just kind of follow along what happens, all right? She didn't say, well, wait a minute. No, she just did it. She did. She was obedient. He was obedient. A great deal of living happily ever after depends on our obedience to our Lord. Our obedience to our Lord. And we deal with that obedience, right? Look, he's the one that knows what we need to do. He's the one that knows what we need to do. He's the one that knows how we ought to do it. And that's a great deal of why he wrote us this book, all right? Well, get in that book and find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember what Paul said, or Saul of Tarsus said on the road to Damascus? First thing he said, Lord, what would I have me to do? After he realized who the Lord. That's the first question. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'll do what you want me to do. Hey, you and I need to have that obedient attitude. You want to live happily ever after. Learn to find out what God wants and then to obey what he says. Obey what he says. I've dealt with people in times past. They ask, what should I do? And I'd say, here's what you'll do. They went out and did the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Things didn't work out too good. Didn't work. Obedience really goes a long way. Second thing I want you to see is they were very careful to live their life in the proper order. Now you're going to say, do what? Well, look over in 1 Corinthians with me in chapter 14, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's a verse that has many applications, and we're going to use one of them here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, the last verse in chapter 14. Very simple verse. It says these words, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. In order. Years ago, I heard a preacher preach, and he's preaching to young people, and his subject was this: don't rush the washing machine. Don't rush the washing machine. He said, do what? Well, I don't know about y'all, but I was an authority on washing machines until I got married. Then I became an authority. I'm still not an authority on them at all. I'm kidding about that. But I know this, you go to a washing machine, you get those dials, they've got some cycles they go through, right? If you want your clothes to come out clean and right, you make sure it goes through the proper cycles. With me? You don't try to skip them. You don't try to rush things along. You don't try to jump one. Well, I'm in a hurry. We'll get it done quicker. Well, if you really want it done quick, just take a broom and beat them and put them back in the closet, all right? You'll be all right, you know. Spray on more deodorant, cologne, whatever. And hope for the best. No, we don't do that. We put them in. We set the washing machine up. We run it, let it run through its cycles. Sometimes, you ever gone out to the washing machine? You look, you opened it up. Water's still in there. Suds are still in there. You got a problem. It went through one cycle. It washed. But it never spun. So all that water's still in there. So you kicked it, and you beat it with a hammer, or you did whatever you had to do. You get somebody to fix it. Why? Because it needs all of those cycles. Can I say this to you? In our life, we need to follow the order God's laid down for some things. Don't rush the washing machine. Okay? Don't think, well, hey, we can skip that step. You be careful about thinking you can skip the steps God's laid down for us, all right? Specifically, I'm just going to point this out because notice in the scriptures that we read, okay? I want you to look at verse 13. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. What does that mean? I know it's old English. We have a hard time with this old King James English. What does that mean? They got married. That's got married. See, y'all can figure out that old English with a little thinking, all right? Some of you were afraid to say anything. I know you were. You go, I don't know. What's the secret meaning? No secret meaning, all right? They got married, all right? They got married. Look at that next statement. And when he went in unto her, hey, they engaged in the physical relationship of marriage. Amen. After they got married. Amen. The order was right. The order was right. Now, we've decided in our day it's not necessary to do it that way. You ever notice a lot of those people don't live happily ever after? Matter of fact, they're not living very happily now, all right? They're having trouble. But here they were. They followed God's order. They got married. Then they had that marriage, physical marriage relationship. And then you'll notice it says, and the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. God gave her a son. She conceived. What a blessing. Can I say this to you? Children are a blessing from God. Children are a blessing from God. We live in a day where people want to kill them. Kill them before they're born. Does it ever make you think what's wrong with our government when they say and they pass one law after another about you make sure your child's in a safety seat and it's got to be this kind of safety seat and it's got to meet these specifications and all of that, but hey, you can kill them before they get born. You can kill them before they get born. We don't even blink an eye at it. Don't even blink an eye at that kind of thing. And now we got people marching to demand the right to do that. What a day. What a day we live in. Hey, now listen. Boaz and Ruth, they did it right. They did it right. They kept things in the right order. They kept things in the right order. Can I say this to you? You say, preacher, you're running me down. No, I'm trying to encourage you to do things right. Trying to encourage you, do things right, all right? It's so much easier to live happily ever after when you don't carry a lot of sexual baggage with you through life. Man, there's a lot of people carrying that. A lot of people burdened down that way. Why? They got things messed up. They got things out of order, okay? Cost them problems. But boy, I want you to see this. Thirdly, you do it in the right order, all right? You do it obediently. And then you're faithful. You're faithful. Faithfulness brings happiness. Boaz was faithful to do all that he said he would do. When Ruth spoke to him in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, in verse 10, Boaz said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou showed more kindness in the latter than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, neither rich nor poor, okay? And he says, verse 12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a near kinsman nearer than I. And he said, in verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. He stepped up to the plate, said, that's what I'll do. He is faithful to do everything he said. Hey, he bought the land. He took the bride. He became a faithful husband to her. Faithful to her. Hey, you want to mess up your life? You want to ruin your chance for happiness? You be unfaithful to your spouse. You'll bring a burden down on you that'll last as long as you live. Unfaithfulness. God help us to be faithful to our spouse. I've preached it before. I'm going to say it again. Men, you ought not to look at another woman if you're married. That wife, that's your wife. You ought not. Well, I'm just comparing. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. One thing is you're lucky that she took you on as a project. Most of us men are lucky. They'd take us on, all right? Hey, don't you ever look at another woman. Hey, ladies, don't you ever look at another man. Be happy with the husband you have. Be happy. Well, I'm not happy with him. We'll work to make him happy, and maybe then you'll be happier with him. And I'd say the same thing to men. Work to make her happy, and maybe you'll be happier with her, all right? I think it works that way. Rejoicing, all right? And man, they were just faithful to what they were supposed to do. You want to be happy ever after, you be faithful. You say, preacher, I'm not married. You don't have to be married to be happy ever after, okay? If that's all you're getting out of the message this morning, you're missing the message, okay? It's not necessary. I know there's many of you here, you're not married. Hey, it's okay. You can be happy ever after. Some of you might be easy. No, we won't go into that, all right? You can be happy ever after. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be happy. To be happy, you don't have to be married, but you do need to be obedient to God. You still need to do things in the right order. Still need to do things in the right order. You need to put God first. See, there's an order. You still need to be faithful. Who to? The Lord. You need to be faithful to Him. You'll be faithful to Him. You can live happy ever after. Notice, man, the rejoicing that broke out when that child was born. Man, they were having a good time. The other, you know, Naomi, she's the grandmother in a sense, and she was happy, and the other women came to her, and they were rejoicing with her and telling her how good it was going to be, how good that thing is. They were rejoicing at that new life that was born. By the way, children ought to be looked upon as a blessing, not a burden. Ought to be looked upon as a blessing, not a burden. I'll tell you what. I went to East Texas on, I guess we were there Memorial Day or around that, or the week before maybe. I went to the museum of the New London School disaster. If you've never heard of that, New London School was the richest school district, rural school district in the world. Because it was sitting on top of a huge oil field. And they built, I mean, everything, they built a new school. Boy, it was top-notch in every way. But to make a long story short, there was a gas leak that developed under the school. One day a spark set that gas leak off about 30 minutes before school was going to be out. And that building went up in a blast. The people that witnessed it said the whole thing looked like it lifted up and then collapsed on itself. They know for sure 294 children were killed. Some of those parents lost all of their kids that same day. All of them. One family, three kids, all of them. Gone just like that. Buried all three of them. Many of them found their own children in the rubble as they dug through it by hand trying to get people out. Hey, I want to tell you, you think children are a burden, you should be able to talk to somebody like that. They were a blessing. Children are a blessing. What a blessing it is that God would give you children to raise. Now, can I say this too? If you don't want kids, don't have them. Don't have them. But you're missing a blessing. You're missing a blessing for sure. Hey, rejoicing always breaks out over life. Gives the continuance of life. Even if you're not married, don't have any kids, never have any kids, you can rejoice in the continuance of your life as you do what God wants you to do and you pass on what you know to somebody else down the line. Man, that's a blessing to know. That brings about a fruitful future. I'm hoping that if this old boy leaves this earth, I hope to leave an impact behind me. Now, there won't be a big monument, but that's fine. I don't need the monument. Don't want the monument, but I sure do want somebody or some bodies to say, hey, that had an impact. He had an impact on my life. And I'm going to live different because of it. Amen. You ought to have that same desire. You said, but don't have any kids. You got brothers or sisters' kids? You got nephews, nieces? You got cousins' kids, you know? Hey, neighborhood kids. Amen. Go round them up. Bring them to church. Amen. Have an impact on them. Hey, you want to live happily ever after, have a reason to live. That reason to live is serve the Lord. It's not to pack all the money in you can get. Because when you die, you're going to leave all of it. all of it. I'm not against you making money. Yeah, I'm not against you living comfortably in your old age. No problem. No problem. Great. But hopefully that's not your reason to live. Listen, Ruth and Boaz, I believe truly be said they live happily ever after. Now here's our problem. When we say that, oh, they never had a problem, that's not what happily ever after means. There's always going to be challenges in life. There will be, all right? There's always going to be challenges. There'll be obstacles to overcome. You ever been driving, maybe out in West Texas? Smooth road. No curves. You get some places in this world and drive straight, stretch, smooth road. Bored to death. Hey, it's the hills. It's the curves that make it exciting, all right? That keeps our attention. What are you saying? I'm saying the obstacles we have to get over, that keeps us going in life, all right? Now, you may be sitting here thinking, man, I've messed it up too much, and I'm done. Maybe you say, well, I'm old, it's too late for me. I want you to notice Naomi was not a spring chicken when this was came about. Naomi had messed up a ton in her life. But she sure enjoyed the rest of that life. Why? She got right with God. She got right with God. I want to say this. The only thing you can change is not the past, it's the future. I can't do a thing about yesterday. I already told you, yesterday at the men's cookout, we registered the complaints. We can't fix yesterday, though. But we can work on next year, all right? To try to satisfy all the complaints, you know. Hey, you can't fix yesterday, but you can do something about tomorrow. The past is done. The future's to come. Faithfulness and obedience to God's plan and His purpose can change anybody's future. Anybody's. Naomi, as I said, had messed up, but she's rejoicing. Ruth was a foreigner. Came into a place where, in effect, she really didn't fit in. But she was rejoicing. She was rejoicing. Boaz was happy because he had a wife he loved, cared about. Now he had a child. Hey, you hear me. You can live happily ever after if you'll take steps. Begins with getting born again. You get in the will of God, find the will of God, and then you work to do what God wants you to do. It's possible. I said, preacher, it can't happen. There's too much. It can happen. I don't care how much of the past is your past and what's there. It can be overcome. You can live happily ever after if you will. Now maybe you got sin needs to be dealt with. That's why the altar's here this morning. You can deal with it. You can come. You can confess it. Preacher, I don't want to tell you about what I've done. Good, I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to confess it to me. I want you to come confess it to the one that can help you. He'll forgive you. Now, if something you need to talk to me about, I'll meet you right here. But listen, God holds out His invitation to you. He set it up for Boaz and Ruth. He arranged everything for. Can I say it? He's arranged it for you too. But now it's time for you to get involved. What will you do? Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, realizing happiness is possible. We might think it couldn't happen, but Lord, the Bible gives us a different view. We can be happy and we can live a joyful life if we decide to do it. Lord, if there's just one this morning that's not saved, would You help that one to get saved? Lord, if there's more than one, I pray they'd all get saved this morning. But Lord, I pray for Christians that are here that are not happy, not content, struggling, going through problems. Lord, don't let them give up. Don't let them give up.